Together we are building C3 through the whole world. Our movement carries a kingdom DNA specific to C3. We aim for people to hear it, feel it, experience it in all our churches. We are C3.
Prayer always comes first for us. The prayer is very important for our churches and for our C3 movement.
When we pray, we access the supernatural power of God. And when we pray, we receive fresh oil.
Prayer was important for Jesus. It was important for all men and women in the Bible. It should be important for us as well. When we pray, we connect with God. And also, not only that, but when we pray, we build the house of God. Jesus said, "My house shall be called house of prayer." That's why we pray.
Jesus said he is seeking worshipers
who worship in spirit and in truth.
True worship brings a sacrifice of praise and gives God glory in all we do, including the way we serve. As his church is united in worship, the sound of heaven resounds. We sing to the Lord a new song that elevates his name above all others.
We know that truth is only found in one place, Scripture.
All Scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is authoritative and informs all that we do. Culture may influence us, but it is Scripture that guides us. Through Scripture, God reveals His character, wisdom, and story. Our lives stand firm as we build on the solid foundation of Scripture.
We are a Holy Spirit-empowered movement. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower His church.
So the authority we have in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to walk in freedom and healing. And the gifts of the Spirit have been given to us to perform signs, wonders, and miracles in a world that desperately needs hope.
We are a movement empowered by the Holy Spirit to live free and real, not tied down in religiosity or legalism. We are Spirit-filled and down to earth.
Everything we do is by faith. Faith is the hallmark of God's people.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're the faith crowd. We know faith's the currency of heaven, and we're believing for a bigger, brighter future and a big God. We live above our circumstances, and we switch on our faith eyes to see that all things are possible with God.
We are people who go the second mile in our generosity.
We spare no expense in pouring out for God and serving for others. We are generous with all we have. It is an alabaster jar sacrifice that we break at the feet of Jesus, knowing we could never outgive God.
We give our life for the sake of the gospel. Our generosity reflects that.
We serve a creative God.
We believe that the house of God should be the most magnetic house on the street, compelling others to come. It's a glimpse of heaven here on earth. It's vibrant, fun, creative, attractive, full of life. The creativity of our Father flows into and through our people, our buildings, and our ministry.
We are intentionally relational. We're a church on mission together, and that means we do life together.
People find home when they step into our churches, and that is no mistake. We welcome people with a big hug, a warm smile, and a great coffee, but it doesn't end there. Our goal is that every person in our church will find connection, that they'll build lasting friendships as they become planted in the house of God.
We are a disciple-making movement.
And we recognize that disciples are made and not born.
And we are called to grow people beyond their first decision for Christ, turning disciples into disciple-makers.
God's mission is fulfilled as we equip the saints to be life-giving disciple makers.
In all our churches, we seek to reflect heaven. Every tribe, every tongue, and every nation worshiping together in unity in the one house.
Mm-hmm. And all ages, we desire to see the young empowered with vision and the old to dream dreams.
It's the vision of C3 all around the world to plant churches. We are a church planting movement. We're establishing local churches in every city, in every town, and in every village.
Yeah, we believe in the future of the local church, locatable places of hope where people can meet Jesus.
Now, as we plant churches, we're going to raise up, equip, and send leaders out to bring salvation and connection to Jesus Christ.
Our greatest days are ahead of us. We have momentum and traction from the Holy Spirit that is unstoppable. As we unite together, we will see the power of God increase and the kingdom of God expand.
So together, guys, we're building the church. We are C3.
Yes, that's us, C3. Amen. Amen. That's not a resounding amen. Amen. After that, we should be all like, yay. So welcome to everybody and to all new guests and to everybody in our church family. It's always great to gather in the house of the Lord. I just need to make sure that, you know, I'm not, elderly is a respectful word. Eh? Yeah? It's a good word? Yeah. Maybe more mature, you know, because you could be old but immature. And so we honor Pastor Charlie and Helen. You guys are just, you are integral pillars in our church, and we really appreciate you. Please put your hands together for them. As we have heard, you know, who C3 is, I just want to emphasize a few things about us here in Fremantle. And a key thing about us is that we believe in prayer. God will not move unless we pray. God will not move unless we pray. When we pray, we invite God into our lives. But also we begin to partner with what the Lord is doing in the world and say, Lord, we want your will. We pray that the will of God would be established. The kingdom of God would continue to be established in Fremantle, but also in your lives and your family's life. Can I get some water, please? Thanks, Claire. You're very kind. I don't know where I was. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday, and there was this big black man, and he had a very nice neck, you know. You know, just I was like, wow. I was saying to my wife, that man, he's got a nice neck, you know. That's strange, looking at people's necks. The reason why prayer is important, I'll just put that there. When we don't pray, nothing happens, because God has given us dominion. And so this is why when we pray, we are inviting God into our lives and say, Lord, we need you to come and move. What is it that you're doing on earth? And so when we don't pray, nothing happens. And in fact, nothing changes. It starts with the altar of the Lord. The one thing that they say about the church, we have to recognize ourselves, is that we are the most integral institution in the country. Whilst they say that church separate church and state, without us, without the church, things don't happen. You might think, oh, he's a bit weird this morning. I'm going to show you through scripture the importance of the house of God, the importance of the altar in our lives. If you remember Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, this is when he's dedicating the temple. Then he goes on to say, nevertheless, listen to my prayer and my plea, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making to you. May you watch over this temple day and night, this place where you have said you would put your name. May you always hear the prayers I make toward this place. May you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people Israel when we pray toward this place. Yes, Hear us from heaven where you live. And when you hear, forgive. If someone wrongs another person and is required to take an oath of innocence in front of your altar at this temple, then hear from heaven and judge between your servants, the accuser and the accused. Pay back the guilty as they deserve. Acquit the innocent because of their innocence. And this is saying that when we come to the altar, we can expect to receive justice in our lives. Amen? He says, if your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and if they turn back and acknowledge your name and pray to you here in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them to this land you gave to them and to their ancestors. Talking about the national security of a country. If the skies are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you, and if they pray toward this temple and acknowledge your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants and your people Israel. Teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession. When the economy is not functioning well, if my people pray, then guess what the Lord is going to do? He's going to do something. You and I, by the grace given to us, if we partner with what God is doing, we can begin to see change in our families and in our community. If there is famine in the land or a plague or a crop disease if there's a famine in the land or a plague or crop disease or attacks of locusts or pillars, or if your people's enemies are in the land besieging their towns, whatever disaster or disease there is, and if your people Israel pray about their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and forgive. Give your people what their actions deserve, for you alone know each human heart. Then they will fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land you gave to our ancestors. So no matter what comes against us, if we pray, God is going to do something. If you want to see a powerful move in your family, if you want to see a powerful move in your business, if we want to see a powerful move in Fremantle where we've been located, we've been called to the town, city of Fremantle, it starts with prayer. Where we are praying, Lord, thy kingdom come. Our desire is that as people come into C3 Fremantle, they would get this. There's an urgency to begin to pray. And one of the things I said a few years ago is that God is raising people in this house to be political leaders, to be business leaders, to be community leaders, because it's not just about us coming here and looking good and having a good time, but it's about us taking the influence of the kingdom wherever we go. This is why you find in the book of Daniel, when the Israelites were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, they were given the very nice food of the king. And these four guys says, you know, we're not going to eat. You know, we're not going to defile ourselves with the food of the king. And what they did is that they decided to say, you know what? What we're going to do is that we're going to eat vegetables and water. And after 10 days, those guys looked fantastic. And that's teaching us, now you have to recognize that they were called, just as we are called, to be influencers wherever we go. It's not just to come to church and to look good, but it's really to take the authority to go out in the authority that Christ has given us and to go into the marketplace and begin to influence one person at a time, the person that you interact with. Because if we believe what the Bible says about us, it means if he says that you are ambassadors, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation, what it means for us is that no matter where I go, I'm on what? I'm ambassador, but I'm on assignment. I am on assignment. And it doesn't matter where I go. If I'm flying somewhere, I then say as we're landing, Lord, Who is it that you want me to, you know, meet and this and that? Sure enough, a few names might come to mind, and I just say to them, hey, I'm in town. Can we catch up? And when we catch up, something, the Lord shifts something in them. I recall a guy I met. I said, oh, look, I'm in town. Can I come and see you? And I said something, you know, like, you know when you sometimes say things? You just say, oh, you know, you make a little prayer. And I just moved on and I forgot about it. 6 months later, I'm speaking to his wife. And the wife says, do you remember the word that you gave over my husband? Now, because, you know, you just do it. I just, no, I don't, not really. And it shifted something in them. But it encouraged them, which is the most important thing. So what I would like us is, you know, as we believe what the scripture says, as we pray to the Lord, and the Lord begins to whisper things in us so we can go and influence, if the Lord says, I need you to go and say X, Y, Z to that man. Because you're an ambassador, guess what you do? You go and you say it. What the Lord does with that, that's his business. Because you don't know the power of your word will go and will strike. It's like an arrow that goes out and it's going to hit somebody and just begin to bring deliverance to people. Even last night we heard of just how a whisper, somebody, God whispered something in them. And the thing that they whispered happened. Imagine if they hadn't whispered. They got a message from that person that what you whispered actually took place, but because you had said it, I wasn't as afraid anymore. This is the power. When we are people of prayer, people that listen into what the Lord says, we go out into the marketplace. We're not afraid. We can start off afraid, but we don't finish off afraid. We go out and we say, you know what, Lord, whatever it is you want to say or do through me, do it. And you begin to see amazing things. When people come to C3 Fremantle, they will find that we love prayer. Every first Sunday of the month at 8:15, we have our prayer. It's not long. It goes for 35 minutes. Then every second fortnight, I think it's tomorrow, from 7 to 7:30. This is not long. You watch TV shows that go for 50 minutes and it's no problem. Just 30 minutes where we're praying for each other, we're praying for the church, we're praying for our country, we're just praying into things. It happens every fortnight, so tomorrow. Oh, it's not this tomorrow? The online Zoom. It's not tomorrow? There's a special one tomorrow. Look at all the unbelieving people saying there's no. Sorry, yes. It's not this Monday, it's the following Monday. Why is it that prayer is the most is not as well attended as anything else? This is consistent across the world. It's not just unique to us. But I implore all of us, just make an effort to just, you know what? I'm just going to, 30 minutes, we'll have dinner early, then we can attend. It only goes for 30 minutes, and that's not a lot of time. But really what we're trying to do here is that we're partnering with God. What is God doing? And we're saying, Lord, we are praying the kingdom of God and the will of God be established in our lives and in the lives of our church and in the lives of the city that we're called to. Without prayer, nothing happens. Remember when Peter was in he was in prison, and he was going to be flogged the next day, and they were going to do some weird thing to him, and the church was praying. And all of a sudden, he thinks he's in a dream. He thinks he's dreaming. And then the first gate opens. In fact, the first thing that happens is that the chains fell off. And then all of a sudden, he started walking past the security guards. So he's thinking he's dreaming. Up until he's outside the gate and the angel disappears, he recognizes that, what? I am out of jail. I'm out of prison. Then he goes to where the people that were praying and knocks on the door. And of course, Rhoda didn't believe that it was Peter there. Without prayer, prayer is powerful. When we pray, something happens. And my encouragement to all of us is that this is something that we should take seriously if we want to see a powerful move of God. Amen. Then you find that every term, once a term, we have a prayer night that goes from 8 to 10. It used to go from 9 to 12. But because we are kind people, we said, you know what, let's just make it 8 to 10. My encouragement is that if you can, in fact, my encouragement is take the time to go to attend these prayer sessions. First Sunday of the month, we shouldn't be having 6 or 7 or 8 people in there. There should be 20, 30. On a Zoom prayer night, there's normally 10 people, and it's mostly the same people. There should be at least 30, 40 people. And then on this, the prayer nights that we have, because what we are doing is that we are ushering in the will of God and say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done for your family, for the church, and for the country. We are praying for our leaders. So we're not just there to have a good time and high-five each other. We're there because we want to see God do something significant in people's lives. Amen? This is what the Lord's response was. Remember what Solomon said? He says, all right, if people pray towards you, would you hear? And this is the Lord in 2 Chronicles 7. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy. This is the Lord's response. If you do this, then I will do that. Essentially, the word if is, there's a condition to it. If you speed, if you drive over 80 kilometers in a 50 zone, we're going to hit you with a $200 ticket. In fact, I was driving from Bunbury yesterday. So I was driving from Bunbury yesterday, and as we start to pull up, you know, we're starting to get near Kwinana. I saw in the rearview mirror a policeman on a bike. And I said, oh, check it out. He's looking for people on their mobile phones. So he works, he continues to go. And then later on, we see he had pulled over a car. She probably was on her phone. Poor lady, $700 given to the government of Western Australia. Those monies are painful to give. But if you speed and if you're on your phone, we will charge you $700 and take 4 demerit points. That's what they do. But God is saying that if you do this, then I will do what I need to do. So there is a part that we have to play. You see, there comes a time where God does things for us. Suresh, come. Thank you, Suresh. Quickly, Mr. Suresh. Yeah, so God does things where he gives us, as we're coming out of Egypt, he's doing things for us. He's giving us manna from heaven and all these nice things. And all you have to do is do absolutely nothing. But then it shifts at Rephidim, where now they're fighting. And one, Moses had to go and raise his hands, and he had Aaron and Hur on the side. Because what they recognize, oh, thank you for sharing. So you see, there are times where God will do stuff for us, and that's great. But there is another time where God wants us to do what? To partner with him. So this is why God says, send Joshua to go and fight, and then you will go up on the mountain and raise your hands. And as you raise your hands, as he raised his hands, the Israelites, what? Prevailed. His hands got tired. And so he had Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, who held his hands up until Joshua and them completely won the battle. There is a time where God will do things for us, but there will also come a time where he says, no, you need to get in the game. Where we're going to partner, I'm going to partner with you. You got to do something. This is why prayer is important and will always be central in our church. Another thing that's important to us is connect groups. Connect groups is a place where you thrive, where you go. It's a more, you know, it's a smaller setting, more intimate. You get to know people better. You walk the journey of discipleship with them and you grow together. These are vital to our church because it's a place where we can, you know, do more pastoral care, make sure that your needs are taken care of. It's a place where you can begin to exercise the gifts that God has given you over your life within a small group setting. So connect groups are vital. Youth is vital because it is a place where they come together to have fun, but not just about fun, to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ so that we grow in our discipleship each and every day. We are going to be people that serve. We are servers at C3 Fremantle. We love to serve. So serving allows us to just, you know, be part of something bigger of what God is doing, where we're serving in youth, we're serving in the hospitality. And I don't know, our hospitality team do a very good job. Please put your hands together for our hospitality team. The coffees that you get, the cakes, the food that is prepared, the soups, all of that is because of our hospitality team. And they're not just nobodies. What they are is that they're connectors. They are connectors because a lot of things happens in hospitality. You go to a restaurant, a lot of business, a lot of interaction happens in restaurants. Oh, let's meet at that restaurant for a meal. And then people are discussing and engaging. So this hospitality is such a big thing in our church. And so serving, where we are serving, and my encouragement is that find yourself a place where you can put your hand up and say, I will serve. Because everybody, no matter what area it is important. If you clean the toilets, that's equally important because, you see, who's ever been to a restaurant and you think, wow, this is great, and then you go to the toilets, garbage. You're like, I'm not coming here again. But if you go to a restaurant, you go to the toilet, not that, you know, you always want to go to the toilet when you're at the restaurant, but if it's clean, you're like, yes. So if you clean the toilets, you are important in our church. Because why we do that is because we care for people. We want them to come to a clean, sterile place. In the toilet, I mean, you know, where it's not in the service. So serving is what we do in our church. Amen? And so my encouragement to you is that if you're not serving and you would like to serve, please go and see the information desk and there'll be some people there to show you in what areas you can love to serve in. Vibrant worship. Who enjoyed the worship this morning? These young people are, you know, I got to acknowledge them. I really have to acknowledge them and to honor them, you know, for what they do. And I really love to see, you know, even our the older ages, the more elderly, singing as well together. Because what they're doing is that they're giving these young people confidence. Each and every Sunday, they have been faithful, these young people. And so I just really want to acknowledge them for that. We've had one drummer for the past 2.5 years, faithfully coming every Sunday, you know. And so please put your hands together for Mr. Arush. And when you see them, encourage them. Because, you know, you feel a bit funny. You feel nice when people encourage you, don't you? Vibrant worship where we connect with the Lord. Just an opportunity to engage with what the Lord is doing. So I just want to, as we finish this morning, you know, as a church, we're a church, of course, but we are also a incorporated association. And part of that is that we have to do the legal stuff. We have to have an AGM. And so I just want to report back on the year 2023. Our financial year goes from January to December every year. And so this is just a look at our stewardship within our church. So these are the abridged. This is just the abridged financials. If you want a full set, they'll be available at the office. Just call them and ask for a copy. Or you can just view it online. Go to the ANC website and type in Christian City Church Fremantle Incorporated. And our charity will come up. And then you can view the full set of financials. So we had income of 723 at the end of December last year, and expenditure of 702 to have a profit after income tax of $20,669. One of the biggest expenses we had is over the 2 years, our interest expense went up, as you would have all experienced in your lives, went up by nearly 200%. So our interest expense on the mortgage for our building went from nearly 50-something thousand to $144,000. So there's a big increase in that. And so if you want a full set of financials, it's either you can ask the church office or go to the ANC website and get a full set. And if you've got any questions, please write them in, and Helen will be more than willing to answer them. No, I'll be more than willing to answer any questions that you may have. Some key highlights. Our Sunday attendance was consistent throughout the year. It's very important that we gather with one another. Last, in 2022, our weekly attendance across both campuses was 99 people. Last year, we had 125 people coming. In 2022, our membership people, you know, who call this place home, was 144. In 22, it grew to 169 last year. And so the ratio of church attendance, 74% of people who are in church membership is good, but I think we would like to increase that to maybe 80, 85. We understand at times people travel with their families, and so they can't always be in church all the time. So we get all that. So, but that is important, that we don't abandon the gathering of the saints. Ratio of annual baptisms to Sunday average attendance. So in 22, we had one baptism. And then last year, we had 10, you know, so which is a really good thing. And so it's important that, you know, as people come in, they're experiencing, they're growing in their discipleship. These things, these key points are really just church health metrics, the health of a church. And so we've got a good ratio of people being baptized against the average Sunday attendance. The percentage of adults in small groups, in 2022, we only had 40% of adults, and that has increased, I guess, with more connect groups or more people attending, to 70% last year. And so connect groups are vital because they are the lifeblood of the church, because if you're not in a connect group, we don't know what's happening in your life. So sometimes you might wonder, how come people, you know, don't call me? Normally, if you're not in a connect group, you're on the fringes. And so my encouragement is that join a connect group. There might be one, or you can do this. There's also an online connect group that runs every fortnight on a Wednesday. So the prayer is next week, Monday, and the connect group is the following next week, Wednesday as well. So it goes fortnightly. So there's an opportunity where, because of FIFO, you can't attend a physical connect group, but you can attend the online one and remain connected into what's happening within the church. The percentage of adults serving, that's a good number. In 2022, we had 43% of adults serving, and that's increased to 70% in 2023. And that's really, really good, because that's what we believe in: serving, helping one another, helping to grow the kingdom of God, being on the welcome team, hospitality, kids, youth, AV, because I think they might need some people in AV, in media. They definitely need people. So please, if you can, help. And sometimes you may not be able to help every week. Even if you can help once a month, that's very good. So remember that when you're helping, do what you can. Do what you can. But you know what? Do something. Don't do nothing. And so as we stand this morning, as we finish, sing song number 4.
Yep.
And this time when we sing it, let's give it a bit of a hit. Ding. I just want to, next week, we're starting a series, and we're starting our mid-year fast. Last year, we fasted at the beginning of the year. Last year, we did the same. But this year, we've introduced a mid-year fast where we're all going to seek the Lord together. And so there will be some cards that will start coming out next week where you can begin to write down the things that you're continuing to believe the Lord for, the things that we want to press into the Lord. So next week, commencing next week, there's going to be two-part series on seeking God. And we'll start the fasting in the middle of the series. And we'll be fasting for 3 days, so it's not a long time. And you can choose the kind of fast that you're going to do. But it's just an encouragement that we fast together and we seek the Lord. Let's pray. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are a good God, that you are a God that loves your people. And Lord, you have promised that if we seek your face and if we turn from our wicked ways, you will hear from heaven, Lord God, and you will come and do great and mighty things. Father, we are your church. We are your people. Because of you, Lord God, we are the most important institution in the country. I get it, there's police, whatever. They're important, but the church, because we are connected to you, the life source. We are connected to you, therefore we are the most important institution. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your people, that they would recognize, Lord God, that they are priests, kings and priests, Lord God, in your kingdom. That, Father, they would take up their mantle, Lord God, and that they would walk, Lord God, in courage, Lord God. They would walk with faith, knowing, Lord God, that as they speak, Lord God, that you would move. As they speak, that you would move. As we pray that your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen. Let's sing, church. And if you need prayer, please come to the front. God bless you.